I still remember my first philosophy class that I took at the University of Dallas. It's called Introduction to Philosophy with Father James Lehrberger, a Cistercian. And the first reading or the first work that we read, I still remember it, is what Plato, The Republic. And in the Plato, in The Republic, written by Plato, the man named Socrates, the wise philosopher, gave an analogy of the cave. He said, so this analogy of the cave is kind of like our world. He said, there are many people who were born chained against the wall, and in between this wall, there would be people walking behind them, holding different objects with a fire behind them. So these people would only see projection of what the objects behind them cast upon the wall, upon the cave. And then they would be creative in naming those objects, a giraffe, a rabbit, or whatever. So these people are always chained up against the wall, and they would only see shadows. But then all of a sudden, a person escape and climb out of the cave and see reality as it is. And this is the philosopher. So he climb out of the dark cave. Instead of seeing shadows, he now see the world as it is, in all its beauty, in all its wonderment. And he come back to the cave and he tell them, no, all these things that you have been seeing all these times are wrong. They're just shadows. They're just projection. They're not the truth. And all these people call him, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. We know what we have seen, and our eyes cannot lie to us. So this philosopher got persecuted by his own people because he tried to tell them the truth. The object as it is, in its most perfect and beautiful form. Yet the people that he had lived with could not accept or understand them because they are still too being held back by their own preconception. And that is what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ today. He is the Son of God. He had seen the world as it is because he formed the world with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Yet when the Lord gives us the truth, sometimes we tell the Lord, oh, what do you know? Or we want things our way. Or when the church tried to teach us something that is true, we say, oh, what did the church know? You're outdated. Oh, you're this and that. Oh, the church needs to update itself so that it become more relevant to this modern world. But yet, when the church tells us the truth, we cannot accept them because we want things to fit our own control, our own agenda. We rather trade the truth for projection and shadows of the things that we want to be true for us. And it's so easy to control our society, my brothers and sisters, that you might have known. If we say something for so long, and if we get enough celebrity and smart people to back us up, if not, it will become true, T-R-U-E, true, quote unquote, but it might not be the truth. And we're searching for the truth, and the truth is the highest good that come from God. And sometimes God wants to lead us towards something better, something higher, but our feeble mind, our fear, our finitude, our limitation, our humanity is too scared to accept whatever he is trying to broaden our horizon. So let us think in our own life. What are some of the things that God is inviting me to change? What are some of the things that I'm living that are not in conformity to God that I need to let go? Am I spending too much time, too much effort, too much energy holding on to my own version of reality? Or am I trying to seek the highest good and the real reality that is found in God? Sometimes we have to break free ourselves from the slavery and the yoke of this world in order to ascend ourselves up to God. Many times we're too comfortable with the things and the things that we have learned to cope and the lies that we have bought into. Liberation is from the slavery to lesser things in order to hold on and grasp onto God. Liberation is found in God when we free ourselves. Saint Augustine said, true freedom or true liberation is not based on the ability to do whatever I want, but the freedom to do what I ought to do in conformity and in alignment with God. Are we doing the things that we ought to do? To love Him with all our hearts and let that love permeate and change us and send us forth into the world to change those who are around us? Or are we too stagnant? Are we too complacent? Are we too comfortable where we are? That we are fearful of change. We are fearful of conversion. We are fearful of grace. My brothers and sisters, we are called to change every day. We are called to become holier every day by conforming ourselves to God. Oftentimes, what God is inviting us to see is very hard for us to accept. I don't know how many times in my own prayer life, I said, Lord, tell me what you want me to do. And then all of a sudden, He tell me what He want me to do. I said, not now. Not now. I know what I need to do, but not now. Many times, we are weak. And St. Paul said to us very clearly in the second reading today that each and every one of us are given a thorn in our flesh. And that thorn could be different for many people. Some theologian, some biblical scholars call that concupiscence. The tendency to sin, or the sins of the flesh, or sometimes it's our brokenness of our own nature that have been caused by our family of origin, of our past, whatever they are, it's the brokenness that we bear within ourselves. Sometimes we want God to remove all of that away so that we can feel good about ourselves, just like whatever every pop song is trying to say, you're perfect just the way you are. Well, we're not perfect. We're imperfect. But God loves us. That's what makes us beautiful. We will never be perfect. We haven't been perfect for a very long time, ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell. We have never been perfect ever since original sin was introduced to this reality. But we are beautiful and loved by God because He has created us. And just like St. Paul said, Lord, if you would remove this thorn away from me, my brokenness, whatever is still holding me back, Lord, if you would just remove this inconvenience from me, I will be good. But what did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Our brokenness, our weakness, our limitations remind us that we still need grace. We still need God. Because if we're so perfect, why need God for? If we have everything that we want, why do we need to turn to a higher power? Why do we need to seek the truth? In our insufficiency, in our weaknesses, in our limitation, may it not be a stumbling block, but a stepping stone toward a deeper faith. That's why St. Paul said, that's why I will rather boast gladly of my weakness, so that in order the power of Christ may dwell in me. I am content in my weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and constraint for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. For when I am weak, I am strong, because Christ is living in me. I do not depend on myself. Christ is living in me, and His grace, His power, His transformation is enough for me. And with his grace, his power, his transformation, I will free myself from the slavery of this world in order to seek the truth, the highest good, God himself. I will not be content with the things that this world tells me, for I know that these are all projection and shadows and opinions. I want the best for myself, and that best and that truth can only come from God and in God. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, this leads me toward the second half of my homily today. Of course, as a priest, I hear a lot of people, especially elderly or parents, who come to me and say, "Father, my children don't want to go to church anymore. My children are no longer practicing their faith. What do I do?" It breaks my heart. And I always remember this one advice that my spiritual director told me when I tried to change my family. Well, we cannot change our family. We only can be who we are. And let the grace of God and our relationship with God be a witness and a testimony to what we believe. And let God change them. So my spiritual director once told me of a story where St. Monica came to St. Ambrose, the Archbishop of Milan, to talk about her son, Augustine, before his conversion. She told him how much she desired that he become a Christian and to know Jesus Christ. And St. Ambrose, the holy saint and the holy bishop, said, "If you cannot bring Augustine to church physically, bring him to church spiritually and prayerfully." Do you get what I'm trying to say? There are people, I have my relatives, my cousins, the people that I care for, who are not practicing their faith. It hurt me. It hurts me. And I try my best to be in very delicate balance, because they always see me as a member of the family, not as a priest. So no matter what I try to tell them, they're going to dismiss it anyway. What does he know? I know where he's from. I know his parents. I know him when he was young. So sometimes when I preach the gospel, they don't really see me as a priest. So I have to pray for them, be gentle with them. And I always bring them to church with me when I go to church. Every time I offer the sacrifice of Mass, there is a moment that I offer the Mass for the people I care about, the people that have asked me to pray for, the people that cannot come to church for one reason or another. Remember, we can always offer that up, that we are the church. So if we cannot bring our family to church physically with us, why not bring our family to church spiritually and prayerfully when we come to offer the sacrifice of the Mass by laying down all those intentions? Said, "Lord Jesus, all that I have and who I am, I give myself totally and completely to you." And last of all, I'm going to give you the advice that I learned from my mom. Sometimes when we don't get what we want, we're going to react. We're going to be angry. And we're going to let other people know what we really think at that moment. The one thing that I learned about my mom, and I truly treasure this, that when she talks to me or my brother or my dad or to anyone, and we're kind of angry or frustrated, she just kind of stays silent. She won't go into an argument. She'll just stay silent there. But then she wait for us to calm down. Maybe 2 or 3 days later, she's going to sit me down, sit my dad down, sit my brother down, and said, "This is what I'm trying to tell you." And when we calm, and when we're more calm, we're able to accept and listen to her instead of just arguing back. That's the one thing I learned from my mom that I try to practice every day. Oftentimes, I have people who are not happy with what I'm doing or what are not happy with the church, that people complain all the time, and it's easy for me to blast out at them. But I have to wait for the right moment. I can always pray for them. I can always love them. And perhaps the hardest thing is that I have to pray and discern the right time to talk about it. When they're more able to listen and receive from the heart. So my brothers and sisters, believe that even in our weakness, God is working in us. For St. Paul said very clearly, "For when I am weak, that is when I am strong. Because Christ is living in me and through me." May we seek the things that are true, the things that are real, the things that come from God, the things that will free us from this world instead of being stuck with the opinions, with the shadows, with the projection and the lies of this changing world. May we seek God, abide with God, and preach God in our words and in our actions.